Psalm 90, and I know I've shared from this passage before, but this week it's the kind of thing that was on my mind, and I just figured let's just come back to it, and I think it's appropriate for right now. For us, it was for me. And so Psalm 90, and let's just read it together, and then we'll dig in, and I pray that God encourages you this morning. Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust, and you say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? And so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. And let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come now to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that you open our hearts to receive and hear from you, God. We need your help. We are so grateful for the privilege and the encouragement that we have as we have gathered together, met in this place, been able to interact and connect with each other, to sing and remind each other of truths of your faithfulness and your goodness, remind ourselves. What a blessing to be a part of your family. And so, Lord, help us to hear from you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. We've all been on long journeys in our lives, and we've just looked forward to getting to the end of it and making it home. And here the psalmist, as he's writing this psalm, is coming and he's speaking about life's journey and how it is hard, and there are many toils and hardships that are gone through. And so in the midst of all of that, where is the hope? Where is the hope? Here's the background for this psalm. You may, many think that, and are right, thinking that a lot of psalms are written by David, but here this psalm is written, as you see in the notes there, that is a psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so this psalm is likely one of the oldest psalms to be written, and there's other songs that Moses wrote in Exodus and Deuteronomy. We can find those that tell stories of how God had acted victoriously, but here in this psalm, there is a different tone that we hear, right? It's the kind of tone where things are in a hard place. We don't know exactly what the circumstances, we don't know what the situation is specifically that Moses may be writing this out of, but it's in the midst of a hard time, we can tell. A hard place in the journey of life where he's crying out to God, and every single one of us can understand and we can know what that is, because more than likely you found yourself in that place already, and if you haven't, you will find yourself in that place. And so this psalm, I want to ask you to think of it as it's written from the perspective of one who's journeying through life. And things are in a hard way. And so what is it that we learn about God? This is often the framework we go. What is it we learn about God? What do we learn about ourselves? And how do we respond? And it's the same framework that we see in this passage this morning. From the well-known quote from A.W. Tozer says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And that's where this psalm starts, and it's an important consideration for each of us because it affects our lives in every way. As we go through life, what we think about God, the view that we have on him affects our perspective on everything and how we're going to respond to him. And so we need to accurately see who God is as we go through this journey of life. And the psalmist, Moses, as he's writing this, he takes us back there. And so I want us to see, where is it and what does he say about what God is like? In the first verse, what does he say? He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Some have understood this to be saying, Lord, you have been our home. You have been our refuge. And what a precious thought that is. Wouldn't it have been to a people who are wandering around the desert wilderness for 40 years? No place to call their home, but they're just wandering and going around. And here, Moses is saying, Lord, you have been the one who is our home. You are the one who has been our dwelling place. There's no place like home, right? And Moses is saying, God, that's what you're like. You have been faithful. You have been trustworthy. You have been ever present. He's saying, you're eternal. And so in the next few verses, as he goes through here, it's like saying, here, let me try to describe what that's like. He reminds them of who they're praying and who they're singing this to. And he's saying, God is eternal. This means that he's been here, and he's been here all throughout this generation. He's been here throughout the previous generation and the generation before that, and he has always been from the very beginning. But not only that, he goes on in verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. He's saying, if that doesn't wow you, he goes on to say, those mountains that you see, you know, and we've all been on those mountaintop places where we get the view and we just see mountains, endless mountains. This week, having the opportunity to get out with my son Noah for a hike and just to sit and to see this view of endless Appalachian mountains before me. It's just gorgeous. And it's like he's saying, you know, all those mountains, you know, he made them. They were made by this God that we're talking about. He's saying, you were here before them, or let me say it another way, before all the earth was even created by you. You were here. There isn't a time when you haven't been. There isn't a time that you won't be. You are God. You have no beginning or end. And so that's encouraging. Our great God is great, and he will always be. Nothing can stop him. He's faithful. And then Moses goes on in these next few verses to help us see, okay, so that's what God is like. Now let's talk about what we're like in comparison to him. As we see his eternal nature, what do we see here in these next few verses? But we see that we are a people who are frail, that we are a people whose lives are brief. And but for a moment, look at the imagery he goes on to talk about here in verses 3 through 6. He says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. He says, here's the reality of life. Unlike God, death comes to every single one of us, and all that he needs to do to bring us back to that point is for him just to say the word. You know, think about how is it that everything came into being, but it was through God just saying the word. And in the same way, he can bring it all to an end just by saying a word. Verse 4, another way to think about how small we are and how brief our lives are before God. 1,000 years are like yesterday to him. It's gone. Or let's talk about, you know, a watch in the night. Some of us don't even see the watch in the night. It's a good thing because we sleep through the night and it's gone in a moment. And some of us, more than others, get for that to happen. We don't even remember it. Our lives are so short and they're not even going to be remembered. Verse 5, he keeps going, and then if that's not enough to help us understand the brevity of our lives, he says, man's life is fleeting. It's here for one moment, it's gone the next, as if it's swept away by a flood. All gone in an instant, like a dream is gone, like the grass grows up and by evening it's gone. The reality is that our lives are brief and but for a moment. And where is he going, you might be asking? He's like, what's so encouraging about this? Yes, I get it, that God is eternal. He's great. He's powerful. I'm small. My life is brief. And if that's the case, then what's it matter what I do with my life? There has to be a point, right? Before we get to that, why is it, he addresses this in verse 10, why is it that before a good and gracious God, that death comes to all. We're told that maybe we'll get 70, maybe we'll get 80 years or so. This life is hard, and it's full of trouble, full of pain, that our years end like a sigh at the end of a hard, long race. And why is this so? Moses tells us, and he goes on here in verses 7 and forward, and he says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed, yet you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." He says the reason that all this life is so short and brief is because of God's anger, God's wrath, our sins before him. The sins that are obvious to all and the sins that no one else knows about. Nothing is hidden before God. And so why is life short? It's because we are all deserving of this. Moses, throughout his years, he's seen this happen over and over. So many die because of their unfaithfulness to God throughout the generation. And the same can be said to us, right? In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Life is short because of sin and God's wrath. There's nothing that is secret before God. And the only hope for any of us is for the Christian whose hope is in Jesus. Verse 11, Moses is asking us, do we really understand the wrath of God? Are we respecting how powerful and destructive his wrath is? And in light of God's greatness and in light of his eternal nature, the brevity of our lives, the deserved wrath of God towards us as sinners, then what do we do with our lives? What's the remedy for all of this? Where's the hope in all this short life and death talk? Here's the hope. Only the Christian who loves God and knows him can tremble before God, knowing that he deserves to die. And so here's the hope. And it's where the psalmist goes as he writes this out now in the remainder of this psalm, in the form of basically, they're just some prayer requests. God, here we come. I'm coming before you, and this is what I want to ask of you. And he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Remember who's writing these words. It's Moses. Moses, he's met with God. He's maybe probably later in his years in life at this point. And here he is, and he's still saying, "God, would you teach me? Would you help me learn? Would you help me number my days and help me to understand how it is that I'm supposed to live?" And so might we have those kind of hearts and that kind of perspective as we humbly come before the Lord. He's asking for a heart of wisdom so he can know why he's there and he can know how he's to live. He's saying, the days are few, and so help us make the most of the days that we have. Help us to make sure that we're living ordered lives around the right priorities in the fear of God. Let's just go quickly down through these verses, and in each one there's like a way that he's praying. He's saying, verse 13, his prayer is now, "Lord, return from your anger. Look on us with favor and mercy." God, we need your favor. God, we need your mercy. "Lord, this life is brief, and so," verse 14, "would you satisfy us with your love so that we can sing for joy?" Verse 15, "Let us be glad for many days. This is only possible for sinners before a holy and eternal God because of the saving blood of Jesus who's made a way for our salvation." Saying, make us glad. Let us be glad for these days. Or verse 16, he keeps on going, and "show your power so that our kids, so that our children can see that you're glorious." We need them to know your power so that they can see that in the midst of all of this, God, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are strong. Show your power. Verse 17, "so let your favor be upon us." We can't do anything of value without you working. And so here this morning, what's the application, the simple application for us as we gather around this passage, this psalm this morning? Real simple, here's the point, right? That God's eternal, he's great, we're not. Our time is brief, we're gonna die. And with eternity in view, before a powerful God of whom we are deserving of his wrath because of our sins, which we would all experience except for the grace of Jesus Christ, what are we gonna do with our lives? Sort of the question, it is the question that I asked last week as we looked at the passage before us then. It is like, what are you doing with your life? This morning, it's the same question. Because it's just the season that we're going in through right now, what these weeks have been reminding us of. in the midst of this, and it's always happening. It's constantly going on, and sometimes it's just not as much in front of us in our minds as maybe it should be. But our lives are brief. What are you doing with your life? Where's your hope at the end of the day? And so here's a few things just for application this morning for this passage that I want to just remind us of and encourage us all in. Number one, number your days. I put that right on the front of the bulletin. Number your days. Be careful. Be careful how you live them. With the words that you use in, make the most of them. You know, love one another well. Work well. Be careful with how you live. And be ready. Number your days. And know that at the end of the day, where you're at in your relationship with Jesus is the number one thing that's going to matter. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? If you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the day is coming, our days are limited. Secondly, think about all the things that we keep track of, that we think a lot about. I'm amazed at the amount of different things that we can think about, and so often they are not the things that really matter. What is it that you're thinking about? Think about what really matters. How much time are you spending thinking about how you're living this short life that you've been given for God's glory? Okay. Helpful exercise as a parent sometimes is to consider how much time do you have left with your kids, those who are under your care before they launch out on their own. And just that thought of, like, am I making the best use of that time? This past week, as I got to take that hike with Noah, and as I take trips with my kids, or we get to do stuff, what a blessing and a treasure it is, because I know that I think there's going to be less and less of those opportunities in times as they get out on their own, and just to be able to take advantage of those. And Thomas Chalmers, he wrote this. Whenever someone came to him, he was a mathematician and a scientist, and someone said to him and asked him this question, and says, well, what about all the mathematics and science now? Because he was busy preparing sermons all the time, and he saw that there was something far more important for him to give his life to, and that was seeing people coming to know Christ. And so his answer to this person was, well, my friend, in my unconverted days, I forgot two things, the magnitude of eternity and the shortness of life. These are two great mathematical factors which I now see to be important. How great eternity is going to be that we have before us, and the brevity of this life that we have now. What are we going to do with the time that we have? Time is the most valuable human possession, and life is short, and so live so that when you die, all that you have to do is die. And thirdly, or fourthly, wherever I'm at here, find satisfaction in him. I want to encourage you, be satisfied in Jesus more than anything. There are words that just are great reminders for us to satisfy us in the morning with your love. We sang this psalm this morning, and I just want to start with it because, and we're going to end with it because this is it. Our heart's desire is that we can look a whole lot of different directions and places for satisfaction in this life. But may it be that he's the one that we are pursuing and being satisfied by. It's us saying to him, Lord, you're everything. It may be the dark of night, and we're just looking forward to morning, for the light of morning to come, and we're longing for you to satisfy us with your love. We need you desperately. And I love how verses 16 and 17 are saying, God, we want to see you work. We need to see you work. We want to see your glory revealed. We want to see your power revealed. And Lord, so would you show us your power? And here Moses is, as it's been a hard and toilsome life, with eternity in view, he's coming to the point where he's saying, I am fully dependent on you, and I want you to get all of the glory, all of the praise. And he's saying, let your work be shown. It's not about me. Let our kids see your glorious power be shown. Let your favor be upon us. And so I want to ask you, is that your prayer? As you go about every day, your daily lives, is it not about, God, would you help me, help me, help me? But God, would you show your power? God, I want you to be glorified in my life. As I go about this day, it's all about you. It's a turning of perspective. Do you understand his power? Do you see who God is? Do you understand his might? Do you fear his wrath? Do you understand your place before a holy and eternal God? Do you understand the shortness of this life? Do you understand that death is coming to every single one of us? And the question is, what are you doing with this life that you've been given? Are you living for what matters? Because, yes, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but if you look in the next two verses, we find the hope, right? The hope here is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. There is salvation. There is salvation all because of Jesus. He's our refuge from the wrath that we are deserving, and so are you ready? Are you ready? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if so, if you've come to him in humility, you can know that he will help you. You can know that he will help you number your days, that he'll give you that wisdom that you need to live for what matters, that he'll help you make the most of the moment because you're looking to him for satisfaction, to satisfy. And you'll be living for his glory and fame. And so this morning, so often, in so many ways, life doesn't go the way that we plan, the way that we expect, the way that we think it will, the way that we plan. And at the end of the day, our lives will end with a sigh, as the psalmist says. But one thing that we know is that our God is faithful, that our God is good, that he is great, and that in the midst of it all, that we can trust him. So I want to encourage us. I want to say, look to Jesus. You can trust him. He will carry you on. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Rest in his faithfulness as we began today. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest in his faithfulness. Ask him to show his power again. Let's ask him to let our kids see just how wonderful and amazing he is. Let's ask him to do what only he can do, because we need him, and we need him desperately. And so this morning, our days are numbered. Let's be satisfied in him as he satisfies us in his love. Let's just bow our heads as we bring our time to a close today. And maybe you're here, and friend, if you have never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, the gospel, what the Bible says is that without Jesus, you have no hope. Without Jesus, we're all deserving of an eternity in hell because of our sin. But the gospel, the good news is this. If you turn to him and you turn in repentance, confess your sins, say, Jesus, no longer am I living for myself, but I'm living for you. And I'm trusting in your cross and the price that you paid at the cross for my sins. And if you'll turn and follow him, that he will forgive, that he will save, and he will take you and welcome you as his own. And so this morning, if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this morning I just invite you to, in your heart, not because there's anything special about this prayer, but because it is just reflective and the kind of thing that a heart says. It says, as a prayer of surrender, just pray this in your heart and ask him to come and to be your Savior. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I know my days are numbered, and I believe that you've died for my sins, that you've risen from the dead. And so I'm turning from my sins. I repent of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I'm trusting that your death on the cross was the punishment that I deserved, but yet you took it for me, and because of that, there is hope and there is salvation to be found. And so I want to trust and follow you as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Lord, this morning, just thank you for how clear and direct and simple your word is. That reminds us how it is that in the midst of these brief lives that we have, reminds us of what's important and how it is that we are to live, how it is that we are to pray, and where it is that we can find the greatest satisfaction and joy in this life. It's you. So just in the quiet of this moment, I just ask you just to say, Lord, would you fill us? Fill us with your love.